But today I want to talk about our gospel lesson. And as I read our gospel lesson, it made me think of goodbyes. Probably one of the simplest phrases that we use really often, but depending on who you're saying goodbye to, can be really hard. You know, at the end of service, I'll probably say goodbye to all of you, and I expect to see you all next week, and it will be, all right, everything will be good, I'll see you soon. For other people in life, we say goodbye, and it's much harder. It might be the last time we think we're going to see them. We kind of get this as a church. We have it with our snowbirds, right? Our snowbirds come down for the winter. They stay with us for a couple months, and then at the end of that time, they go back up north. Knowing that every year that we expect them to come back, but as time goes on, it becomes harder and harder to make the journey south. So we always kind of go through that. More recently, kind of a funny story about goodbye is when we were getting ready for our cruise. You know, we had dropped Jo off at her grandparents, and Jo was like, she's like, go. And that was an easy goodbye. She was ready for us to go. She's like, go. Dropped her off, then I went home and took the dog to the vet. The dog was all good, he was in the car, he was really excited, got to the vet, saw me pull out his bag of food, and he wanted to go home. He turned around, and saying goodbye to him was hard, because he didn't want to say goodbye. And it's somewhat ironic, because as a father, you feel really bad that it was harder to say goodbye to the dog than it was to my own child. But it was the feelings that the dog was giving, right? He had fears that we weren't going to come back. It's a reminder that goodbye can be a hard term. And the reason I bring up goodbye is in our gospel lesson today, Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples. He's telling his disciples that he is departing. Now, of course, this story comes before his crucifixion. So often when we hear this story, we think of the crucifixion. He is going to the cross. He is departing. He is leaving. This is getting scary. But if you're probably thinking about this, you're thinking, we celebrated Easter weeks ago. Why do they give us this reading? There is another event that comes up also in Scripture, and it actually comes up this week on Thursday, the 30th. 40 days after Jesus dies and raises, what happens? It's a good trivia question.
Ascends.
He ascends. Yeah. It's the ascension of Christ. Now think about how hard the ascension must have been for the disciples. Jesus has died. Jesus has come back. Jesus is with us, right? Who doesn't want Jesus to do travels with you, a Jesus to talk to you, a Jesus to laugh with? 40 days later, he departs. He ascends into heaven. Some churches express this really neatly. You'll see, look at the roof, and on the roof you'll see a pair of feet. And the feet are, they symbolize two things. Him either going up or him coming back down. Isn't that interesting? Because it's the feet. You don't know which direction he's going. But it's celebrated as him going up. And how hard it would be to say goodbye. You thought you lost Jesus. Got him back. And now he's leaving again. But Jesus, in the midst of his feelings, we read this scripture because we're reminded of what Jesus tells us. Jesus is not actually abandoning the disciples, but instead the Holy Spirit is coming. The one who is more powerful than him, which is weird to say, it's a confusing idea. One who is coming to almost take over. And so they should rejoice because Jesus is going to prepare. How hard that would be, because I think when we talk about our own faith life, how many of us would rather have Jesus in the car with us than feel like we're depending completely on the Spirit, right? It's really hard. But it was described once this way. I want you to think about the biblical narrative. Think about the New Testament. The New Testament has one mission, right? The mission is to bring salvation to the people of God, right? When we think about this mission, we often have to think about it as two parts. The first one is the ministry of Christ, right? Jesus comes down, he teaches, he preaches, he heals, he dies on the cross, defeats sin and death, right? There's a follow-up part. The follow-up part is the story of Pentecost, the ministry of the Spirit. The way we are connected to Christ is through the waters of baptism, right? The way that God shares that grace with us is by the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because what we see God do is that God is not someone who dwells next to us. It is a God who comes to dwell in us, comes to bind us together as one people through the Holy Spirit. We're meant to be connected to God through the acts of the Holy Spirit. So it actually marks a huge change in the church. At this point, the church then becomes dwelled. Becomes people who are supposed to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to go out into the world and carry this good news. Because our relationship has changed. Our faith has changed. And Christ acknowledges this with Thomas, right? When Thomas is in the locked room, he goes, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." It's much harder. And it's also a reminder in our text that it's part of God's plan. That God doesn't just say, "I intend to die." God says, "I intend to change you." God intends to dwell with you. God intends to come and heal you. And what we receive on Pentecost is this hope, this transformation. What we receive is change. We receive growth. We will grow as a people in God. This past weekend, I was reminded, I felt really old. And you probably have, some of you probably had this experience, right?
Every day.
The moment when your high school and middle school youth graduate from high school, and you look at them, you're like, "I remember when you were like 5. And now I look at you and you're like graduating from high school. I remember when you were half my size and now you're like double my size." And how shocking that is. But also how proud you are in that moment. That they have grown into people who are now becoming adults. That they've changed. That they've grown for the better. And sure, I sort of miss them being the small, young people that I remember. But how excited I am to see them become the adults that they are becoming. And I think it's a similar idea in the church. The coming of the Spirit is the next phase for the church. The coming of the Spirit is this act of growth for the church in preparation for the coming of Christ. Because when we talk about the coming of Christ, we talk about the departure of Christ, we talk about preparation. That God sends the Holy Spirit to prepare us. Not to prepare us to a life without Christ, but to prepare us for a life to come. A life in which we will have eternal life. A life that looks like our story from Revelation. It's a Spirit that is meant to change us. That as we remember days like Memorial Day, when we remember those who have died, protecting others, that God gives us the promise of two things. That first, death will not have a last say. if those who have died will come back. And then warfare. The reason we have to remember things like Memorial Day will be no more. That there will no longer be a need for warfare. And that those who have died, particularly for others, will be back. And that's the gift that God gives us. Because God loves the world so much, God will die himself to give us life. He'll send himself to change us. Change us so that we can live together.
Amen.